Tell you the story of a young boy, and it's the story of a young boy that had a miserable life. It was a life that under most circumstances would have seemed hopeless. But this young boy overcame the circumstances of his life, and he served God greatly, and he did great things for the Lord. And I hope the story that I tell you tonight will be a challenge to you to let loose of the circumstances of your life, give everything that you have in serving the Lord. Our message tonight is going to be titled, The Boy Wonder. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would be with us tonight in our service. And Lord, that Your Spirit would be here and that You would teach us. Lord, show us the example. We know Jesus Christ set the ultimate example. Lord, in His life, how He lived, and Lord, just the lessons that He taught. And Lord, He was just such a good example to us and how we should live. And I pray that we would follow His example. Help us to cherish Your Word. Help us to cling to it. Lord, help us not to depart from it. Lord, we know that if we keep Your Word hidden in Your heart, the Bible says it'll keep us from sin. It'll keep us from the things of the world. It'll help us to be more faithful. And I pray that we would do so. Pray that You'd give us a better desire, a greater desire, Lord, to memorize Scripture, to get into our Bible more, to spend more time with You, so that we would know more about You. Lord, as we learn more about You, Lord, we would see all that You've done for us. And Lord, when we see all that You've done for us, that'll keep us from wanting to sin. It'll keep us from the things of this world. Lord, I pray for those here tonight that are lost and don't know Christ as their Savior, that tonight would be the night, above all the other nights, Lord, that they've heard Your Word, that it would convict them tonight and show them their need of a Savior. Lord, that You'd show them that without Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this world, there's no peace and there's no comfort, Lord. They have no assurity of a future, Lord, of their destination. And I just pray that You'd speak to them tonight. For the sick, for the physically wounded, Lord, that are not able to be here tonight, Lord, even those that are here that aren't feeling well, Lord, but have had a desire to come out, I just pray that You'd be with each sickness, each infirmity, and that You would just bless as it is according to Your will. Give us the grace and the comfort to trust You, and Lord, just to believe and know that You have all things under Your control and all things are in Your hands. Lord, help us to trust that. We do pray again You'll bless in our message tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you the story tonight of the boy wonder. 3 points tonight I want to bring out. Number one, this kid's life. The kid's life. Now the story is a story of a boy who grew up in a rough home. His father was a deadbeat. Okay, dad was a deadbeat. He had a terrible father. And actually this boy's dad was murdered while he was just a young kid. This boy watched as his father was murdered in his own house. And this young boy grew up in a single-parent home. He grew up in a broken home. He had a rough childhood. His brothers and sisters weren't godly. In fact, many of them were pretty sick people. They were engaged and involved in all types of things of the world. Very loose sexual morality, or better put, immorality. That even extended itself into homosexuality, gay and lesbianism, and all those things. And of course, you know, loose sexual morality leads to abortion, leads to the killing of innocent children, and all these things this boy watched in his own family. He watched them among his own friends and his own cousins. It was just a terrible life. He came from a terrible home. He grew up and he had kids of his own, and they were just as bad. I mean, it just seems by all accounts that this kid, he just had a rough life. It's a life that many have lived. It's a life that many people live today. It's seemingly a life that's without hope. It's a life that's not going anywhere except to maybe drugs or maybe to the bottle or maybe to some other thing that would draw him away from the Lord. But he just had a terrible life. Had no father. Had no godly example around him. Had no Christian influence in his life. And the story is of a young boy, his name was Josiah, and he was the king of Judah. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. That story of that young boy that I was telling you about, his name is Josiah. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, in verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. Now, that's what we're told about Josiah when he comes to the throne, but let me just show you what the Bible says about his upbringing, a little bit about his background. Look back just one chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 21. Josiah's father was a man named Amon, who was the king of Judah before he was. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 33, 21, Amon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father, for Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him, and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. What a way to begin life. Josiah watched as a young child, 8 years old, and his father was murdered in his own house. His dad was a deadbeat. I mean, Amon was a terrible, terrible man. He was a terrible individual, a terrible father. We're only really told 3 verses here in this passage about his life. We know that he reigned for 20, or he was 22 years old when he began to reign, and we know that he only reigned for 2 years. But we know that in those 2 years it was nothing but evil. We know that it was nothing but things that were ungodly, the sacrifices to false idols, to graven images. The Bible says in verse 23 that he was not a humble man. He was a proud and an arrogant individual, constantly raising his fist to the heavens against God with his evil sacrifices and these carved images that he worshipped. Amon was a terrible father, and he was killed. He was killed in his own house when his son was just 8 years old. Dad was a heathen in the truest sense of the word, serving at the altars, and was just a terrible, terrible father. What a terrible way to start life. I mean, right? And he's 8 years old. He's 8 years old, and the only influence that he's ever had, the only example that he's ever had in a father, someone who was just wicked. Someone who just was no good at all. And if things weren't bad enough, Josiah had something else thrown at him. The throne of a nation. The kingdom of Judah. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. 8 years old. Now, let's just take a minute and let's just be honest tonight. What would you think about Josiah? Just think. Okay, don't read about Josiah. Tell me what you would think about Josiah. A kid with that type of upbringing, a kid that comes from that type of a home, he's got that type of a background and that type of a home life, what would you think about him? You know what we would probably say? We would probably say, this kid ain't got a chance. Look at his life. Look where he comes from. Look at his background. This kid doesn't have a chance in the world. He'll never be a success. This kid will never amount to anything. Isn't that what we would think? Isn't that really what we would say? This kid doesn't have a chance of having a life worth meeting. Meaning, I mean, look at him. Look at his life. We would probably write Josiah off from the moment that we heard about him. Number 2, a kid leader. So at 8 years old, Josiah assumed the throne. Now, you know, all the odds in the world are against him, not to mention the fact, listen, this kid is 8 years old. Okay, he's the joke, seemingly. He's a joke, right? I mean, the laughing stuff, I mean, he's 8 years old. Is there anybody here tonight that's 8? Got any 8-year-olds? 7-year-olds? We got a couple of 7-year-olds here. Can you imagine next year Caleb Holbrook is the President of the United States? Everyone in this room is giggling. And aren't you? Caleb Holbrook, next year, the President of the United States. What a joke. He's a kid. He doesn't have a clue. I mean, he's going to be in second grade. He doesn't know about budgets and taxes and about, you know, foreign relations. He don't know about any of that kind of stuff. This kid would be a joke. That's what Josiah was. He was the king of a nation at 8 years old. He was the king. Now, I understand that probably much of what was done was
done by those that were surrounded that surrounded him. Many counselors had probably a little bit of influence in other things, but this kid's the king. This kid is the king of the nation. And you might think that he's a joke, but before you start to think that, let's look at this joke. Okay? Let's look at this joke of a kid. 2 Chronicles 34:2. And he, okay, remember Dad Ammon was an evil, evil man. Grandpa Manasseh, for most of his life, was an evil, evil man. So Josiah, it would just seem by nature, but what does verse 2 of chapter 34 say? And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Read that for a second. This kid's 8 years old. You see that? He's 8 years old. What's the Bible say about him? He did that which was right. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father. Wait a minute. Keep reading. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, okay, eight years later, he's still a teenager though. He's only 16 years old. But in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, this kid's not messing around. Verse 6, and so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. In other words, that verse there is saying this guy didn't come home until he made a change in his country. This kid, and by the time verse 7 ends, or it talks there in verse 3 about the 12th year of his reign, that would make him 20 years old, younger than me. He can't even be president of the United States for 15 more years. But this kid's making a difference. He's changing his nation. He's changing the world that is around him. Look at all the things that he began to do. Turn over to the book of 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. If you could read the whole passage here about all the reforms of King Josiah, you should read verse 4 down through verse 20. We won't be able to read all that, but just read a few verses here. Begin with verse 6. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burnt it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it into small powder, and cast powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites. You need to get you a King James. If you've got an NIV, it don't say Sodomites. It says something just really dumb, like a temple prostitute or something like that. The Bible says it was a Sodomites. He didn't put up with that stuff. Not in my country. No, sir, not while I'm king. They were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Think about that. Think about how bad things got in his country. He brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Now, that there is nothing more blatantly rebellious than, you know, to engage in those type of sexually immoral practices, and you want to do it right next door to God's house. There is something that just raises their fist in the face of God and says, I'll do this and I'll do it next door, God. You're not going to stop me. And Josiah says, I'm not putting up with it. And he took their houses and he crushed them and he got rid of them. Verse 8, and he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. Man, Josiah, he's destroying altars. He's destroying the houses of the Sodomites, the groves, the places of idolatry. This is a young man. He's no older than in his 20s. And he began to change his world and he began to serve God. Josiah was different than any king that had come before him.
He served God in the face of a nation that didn't want him to. In the face of a nation that didn't want it. I wonder sometimes what would happen in this country if we just quit worrying about what was politically correct and we just served God. If we just served the Lord and we didn't, you know, we're not trying to be, you know, jerks and obnoxious to individual people about it, but we don't sit there and whine either when somebody doesn't like it. We just do what God wants us to do. We just serve the Lord. I wonder what would happen. I just wonder what would happen in a nation that would do that. You know, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, if we just serve the Lord, I just wonder what might happen. Look at the changes this young man made. Look at the difference that one man made when he was willing to serve God. Christians, why aren't we making that type of an impact in our world? You know, why aren't we serving God that way? You know, it's easy to think, well, Brother Philip, I just don't know if I can be a Josiah. I mean, look at this guy. You know, Josiah wasn't a superhero. You know, none of the men of the Bible were superheroes. You know what the Bible says about Josiah? When he was 8 years old, he began to do what was right. When he was 16 years old, he began to seek after the God of his father. He began to seek after the Lord. That's the difference in Josiah. You've got a man here whose heart, he's not a superhero. Okay, he doesn't have supernatural powers. He doesn't have, you know, he's not Superman. He's just committed to the Lord. He's committed to serving God. You don't have to be a superhero. You say, well, Brother Philip, I just don't think I can be a Josiah. I mean, man, look at how bad the things are in our world today. Listen, I don't believe that for a minute. Okay, that's why one reason I'm giving you the illustration of Josiah. Look at the situation he grew up in. Look at the life that Josiah had and tell me how much different it is than the world in which we live. You know what Josiah faced? He saw his father being murdered. He saw rampant homosexual practices going on even next door to God's house. He saw mothers and fathers sacrificing their children to pagan gods. The Bible says they would make them pass through the fire. They would sacrifice their own children to pagan gods. You know, and we see abortion running rampant today, but you know, it was the same back then. They were sacrificing their children. You know, and you say, Brother Philip, with the way the world is today, Josiah did it. Josiah made a change. Josiah made an impact. And he wasn't a superhero. He was just a man who was committed to serving the Lord. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. You know, it's easy sometimes to run to the book of Daniel. And of course, you know, you find some pretty amazing prophecies in there. But it's easy to run to Daniel 2 and look at the story in chapter 3 of the fiery furnace. And you think, man, those guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, man, they had it together. Man, those guys, they went into a fiery furnace serving the Lord. And not a hair was singed on them. It's easy to run to chapter 6 and we talk about how Daniel was thrown into a den of lions and how, man, he just had a nice fluffy pillow that night. That's all it was. Nothing, no, he was no harm. He was fine. It's easy to run to those chapters. But you know, those guys weren't superheroes either. You know what it says about these guys? Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. You know, before Daniel was ever thrown into the lion's den, and before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were ever thrown into a fiery furnace, the Bible says that these are young men who had already purposed in their heart. They had purposed in their heart to serve the Lord. And that's what you see in Josiah. Listen, the men of the Bible are not superheroes. Okay? But they are men who have their hearts and their lives committed and purposed to the serving the Lord. And to serving God. I just wonder what we could do in our world. You know, we were born into the same world Josiah was, with the same problems. And I wonder what the problems in your life may be today. You know, folks, I would never want to downplay your situation in life. You know, there are people in our world today that are hurting. There are people in this church, in this room tonight, who are hurting. And we have people back at our church who are hurting. And they're facing some struggles and they're facing some decisions that they've got to make in life that are going to affect the rest of their future. You know, their people are hurting and they've got
big things going on in their life. And I don't want to make light of that at all, but I want to share with you the story of Josiah, and I want you to share with you that through your circumstances, God can give you the power to live for Him. And He can give you the power to serve Him. You know, I just want you to know that today, if you'll purpose in your heart, if you'll seek after the God of your Father, despite the circumstances that surround you, you can be a difference. You can make a change. You can serve God. You say, well, nobody else is. You think a lot of people around Josiah were serving the Lord? I mean, look at his... Think about this. Josiah came to the throne when he was 8 years old. What kind of counselors do you think Josiah had? I assume that Ammon's counselors just naturally took over and took over as counselors when Josiah was young and couldn't make those kind of decisions, right? I just assume that. And there hadn't been nothing but ungodly men and counselors in that nation for two previous generations. You think Josiah's got help? You think Josiah's got a good core group of people around him that are supporting him, saying, boy, you serving the Lord, that's a good idea, Josiah. No way. Look at Israel. Look at Judah. Look at the situations and the circumstances there. But he purposed in his heart to seek after the Lord God. He purposed in his heart that he was going to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He wasn't going to stand, and he wasn't going to stand and allow these guys while he was king to let these things go on. No. While I'm king, tell you what we're going to do. We're getting rid of the altars. We're getting rid of the images. And these homosexuals, they got to go. I know that's not politically correct, but they're not living next door to the temple anymore, okay? Okay, they got to go, okay? We're not going to let this happen anymore. You know what the Bible says about Josiah? He defiled the altars. Now, you look at the word defiled, that's usually used in the Bible in a negative manner. The word defiled means, that when it's used in reference there to the altars, it means that you make the altars of no use, where they can't really be used. You know, the Bible says that Israel often defiled God's altars. You know, because of their paganistic practices and because of their false sacrifices and because of their Baal worship, they defiled God's altars. They took God's altars and they used them for a purpose that wasn't right, and God, you've just defiled my altar. And here's what the Bible says about Josiah. If Baal was a god and looked down at his altars, Josiah's doing that to his. Josiah's taking Baal's altars and he's destroying them. He's stamping them into powder, and he's taking that powder and he's sprinkling it over the graves of the false priests. Just like he's staying to the graves of those dead priests. Here's your God, and here's your altar. Let your God resurrect you. Let your God do what He's going to do, but here's your God. He didn't stand for that stuff. This guy's young. I mean, this man, he's a child. You think, what in the world can this guy do? He's nothing but a kid. Well, this guy made some changes. He made some changes in Judah and some things for the better. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles 34. Second Chronicles 34, verse 33, it says, "And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all them that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And it says down in verse 18, there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet." It's kind of neat there. You know, the days of Samuel the prophet are actually the days when the kingdom of Israel started. Saul was anointed king. David was anointed king. And you know, the entire time that Israel was a kingdom, they never really observed a good Passover. They were always full of idolatry and full of all these false images. But Josiah comes along and he says, "I'm getting rid of them." And he says, "We're going to observe this Passover and we're going to do it right. We're going to do it right. We're not going to sacrifice to Baal on Monday and then come down here for Passover Day and come in here and sacrifice to the Lord and observe this. No, we're not doing that. We're going to observe this and we're going to do it right. And the Bible says that there wasn't a Passover like the one Josiah had. And he was making sure that those people were devoted to the service of the Lord. He's not standing for that stuff anymore. Can we do that? Can we do that in our lives? Can we make sure that there is nothing that hinders us from the service of the Lord? It says there, 2 Chronicles 34:33, Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. He took away all the abominations. He just got rid of everything. Everything that kept them from the Lord, everything that kept them from serving God, he got rid of it. Okay, it's gone. Okay, they're not going to have an excuse now. There's not going to be any reason here not to serve the Lord. Josiah did that. A very young man did that. You know, I believe that an 8-year-old kid is not ready to be president. I believe that an 8-year-old kid is probably not ready to pastor a church. Maybe not even ready. I don't know. Probably not old enough to teach a Sunday school class, you know, as a full-time position. I know that. You know, kids in immaturity and lack of wisdom and lack of knowledge so far, young kids at that age probably are not ready for some of the positions that grown individuals are. But I know what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. But, okay, now we got some young, I got some preacher pals here on the front rows. You guys are young, and it's easy for young people to think, man, nobody, they look at me just like a kid, you know, and I can't do anything. And I wish people would, I just wish they'd look at me, you know, more. And I just wish they'd give me more to do. I don't want them to despise my youth, you know. Don't let them despise your youth, okay? Don't let any man despise thy youth. But it doesn't end there, okay? You don't want them to despise your youth, right? You don't want people to look at you as, well, because he's young, he can't do anything. Oh, he's just too young to do that. He's just too young to serve here. He's just too young to do that. You don't want people to think that about you. So here's what you do. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You don't let someone despise you because you're young, but you be an example and you do what's right. Okay? Now, just because you're young doesn't mean that you can't serve the Lord. In fact, be an example, Timothy. You be an example. You do what's right in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You do what's right. Now, you're young, but you do what's right. Don't let them despise you just because you're young. But, you know what? If you're not the example that you're supposed to be in these areas, if you're not an example to your church, Timothy, in word and in conversation and purity, then you really can't expect them, you know, to look at you as a mature Christian. You can't look at expect them to look at you as all powerful and all knowing and having all this wisdom. Okay? Now, don't let them despise you because you're young, but you be an example. And that's what Josiah was. We would despise Josiah because of his youth, but he was an example. And he lived what was right. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Can you believe that? This kid was 8 years old and the Bible's saying he's doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. Well, how's that possible? He's only 8 years old. He don't know anything. He's not wise enough. You know, he doesn't have a great education. You know, you don't have to have a great education to serve God. You know, you don't have to be smart to serve the Lord. You just do what he tells you. You know that? If you'll do what the Lord tells you to do, if you'll do what the Bible tells you to do, the Bible says you're actually wiser than the smartest guy around. If you're doing what God wants you to do, that's what real wisdom is. Man, look at Josiah. Look at this kid leader who has no knowledge, no wisdom as far as the physical way to run a nation. Well, this kid coming on, he sure is idealistic. Look at all the changes he wants to make. He'll grow out of that. Josiah never grew out of it. He made change after change after change. And you know, Josiah died when he was 39 years old. He was a relatively young man. He came to the throne at age 8 and he reigned for 31 years. We don't even know that Josiah lived to see his 40th birthday. But notice what the Bible says about him. While he was king, he got rid of the bad, and he served God, and he did that which was right, and he made sure Israel was doing the Passover and doing it the right way. This guy's something special. You know, you can be something special too. And it don't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. Josiah is a perfect example of a young man whose heart was committed to the Lord. He just wanted to serve the Lord. And he did, and God brought about great change. Turn back to 2 Kings chapter 23. Our last point, number 3, a king's legacy. A king's legacy. 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Now, you know, Israel had some interesting kings. You know, the Bible says David was the man after God's own heart. And the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. Hezekiah was a godly king. You know what it says about Josiah? He was really unique. There wasn't a king like him. Not before him, not after him. There wasn't anyone who was quite like Josiah. From his very youth, at 8 years old, he began to serve. He's just nobody like him. Man, I just love what verse 25 is. It's just all. There's nobody like him. That's the kind of king that he was. Let me show you things about the character of Josiah. In chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles, again, where we read our text, previously to Josiah's reign, the Bible seems to indicate that the copy of the law that was kept in God's house had been lost, and it was found. Okay, during Josiah's reign, Hilkiah the priest found the copy of the law. And here's what it says in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 18. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. You know what Josiah was? Josiah was a man of repentance and humility. You think about Josiah, and the Bible says there when the law was read, he rent his clothes. Now that was a sign of mourning. It was a sign of repentance. It was a sign of just a humble attitude. Now why did Josiah do that? Josiah is going. He's on fire. I mean, he's changing the nation. He's doing what's right in the eyes of God. He's right. Josiah's doing right. Of all those doing wrong, he's doing right. Yet when he heard God's law, man, he tore his clothes because he saw how bad his nation really was. He saw how bad they really were and all the reforms that he had done, all the good things that he had done. And he still saw how sinful he was. He still saw how sinful his people were. I would love to have a president in our country who really feared the Lord and really had a repentant attitude toward the sins of our nation. And we're not, you know, I'm not looking for a Messiah in a political party. It would be nice, though, to have a president who actually didn't mind talking about Jesus Christ and had an attitude of repentance and humility toward himself and toward his sins, and toward the sins of our country. That would be nice. It really would. I just wonder what the Lord would do in our country. No, again, we don't want to be mistaken. We don't want to be what Israel was in the time of Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for a political Messiah. And the answer to America's problems is not the Republican Party. The answer to America's problems is the need for a revival and a need for salvation in Jesus Christ. That's our need. And I would love to see what God could do in this country if Christian people would purpose in their hearts and turn to the Lord. And you know, we didn't have attitudes like, well, I'm too young and can't do this, and I'm too old and I can't do this. No, we're just like Josiah, and we just start seeking. We just start seeking the Lord. We just turn to Him. Regardless of how old we are, regardless of how young we were, regardless what a jerk dad was, and regardless of the problems that are around me, I know I don't have a godly influence around me, but I can be a godly influence. That was Josiah to the T. There was no godly influence around him. but he himself made a godly influence and became one to his country and to his nation. I think sometimes that's where we as Christians get it wrong. We spend so much time, and I know the situation, our country's bad. Okay, I know we don't have a godly influence. Let's change that. Let's be that in our nation. Let's be that in our communities. What will God's will be to do through us? Man, I don't know. You say, well, I just don't know what the Lord will do. No, you don't know what the Lord will do. You know that? I don't know what the Lord will do. Maybe some people start being saved. Maybe if we were a better witness, maybe if we were more godly living in our communities, maybe more people would be saved. Maybe more people would ask what's different about us. Maybe some people would question. I don't know. It's so easy to always look at the negative. Well, I just don't know what God would do. I just don't know what God's going to do in our nation. You know? What if we're a godly influence and the Lord starts saving people? What if we get the message of the gospel out? What if we start telling people about Jesus Christ and some people in our nation turn to Him and believe on Him and repent of their sins? Maybe not everybody will do it. But here's the thing. If you're a godly influence, and if you're a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe one person will be saved. Maybe one person will be saved. Isn't that worth it? To know that one lost soul that was bound and destined for hell is now, through the Lord using your life and your influence and your message of the gospel, the Lord has saved them. By power, by grace, and by mercy, He saved them. Maybe it was just one, but it was one. It's one that wasn't before. I just wonder what the Lord could do. What a king's legacy he had here. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 15. You know, Josiah cleaned house. He got rid of all the things in Judah that were wrong. And I think sometimes maybe we're the same. Maybe we need to clean house. Maybe in our own houses. Maybe in our own families. Maybe in our own schools. Maybe in our own country. Maybe we just need to clean house. I want you to notice the contrast here. We know what it says about Josiah. He went to the extent that he started stamping everything out. You know, toward the later part of his grandfather's life, Manasseh had begun to change a little bit. He'd begun to do things a little bit differently. I want you to see what it says here about Manasseh. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 15. And he took away the strange god and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Hey, it seems like this guy is making some changes too. Granddad, Manasseh. Do you notice what's different about verse 15? You know, Manasseh, he starts to take the evil idols and the evil altars. You know what he does? He takes them and he makes sure that he throws them out of Jerusalem. They were still there. You know that? Those altars were still there. Now, they weren't in Jerusalem, but they were still there. So you know what happened when Ammon became king? He just went and picked up those idols that were outside Jerusalem and he brought them back. You know what the Bible says about Josiah? He took those things and he stamped them into powder. He got rid of those things. There ain't a shot these things are getting used again. These things, the Bible says, they were defiled. Josiah made sure that he didn't make Grandpa's mistake and just throw them away and just get rid of them over here. He made sure they were destroyed. Isn't that awesome? Just the contrast between him and his father. You know, Josiah could not guarantee that those that came after him would be righteous. Okay, Josiah could not guarantee that his sons would be godly. But he was going to make sure that he left them no opportunity for it. He was going to make sure that he got rid of all the idols. Okay, if his sons built an idol, if his sons built a false altar, it wasn't because it was something that Dad just overlooked. And it wasn't just something that Dad turned a deaf ear to. He got rid of all the idols and got rid of all the altars. He's making sure that we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord. And if you're going to make an altar, son, if you're going to make an altar or an image or one of these stinking idols, here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up doing it by your hands, but it's not going to be something that I leave behind. Not going to be something that I leave behind. Man, I want to do that in my life. You know, I want to know that the people in my life that I have influence upon, Cecilia, other kids that we may have in the future, the young people at our church, the people in our community, I don't want anyone to sin. I don't want anyone to be involved in things that are ungodly. But I sure want to make sure that, you know what, I'm just, you know, that I'm not leaving a cause for it, or I'm not making opportunity for it. I want to be like Josiah. I want to make sure, hey, if they're going to sin, it's not because I left the altar there. It's not because I left the image there. I'm going to stamp it and get rid of it. That's what I want to be. Man, he cleaned house. What a royal legacy that he left. And here's the final one that I want to look at. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 31. Christian, are you making a change? Are you making a difference in your world? And listen, I do not want to downplay the circumstances in your life at all. Some of you have gone through things that are bad. You know, we have men and women today that are trying to serve the Lord, and they have the same background of Josiah. They have terrible circumstances. They have a terrible past. Some have come from broken homes. Some have come from situations and circumstances that just seem like this kid would have no hope. This kid has no chance. But the Lord intervenes, and now Josiah is a saved man, and he's seeking to serve God. And I want you to see what it says about him. Verse 31, "And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book." I want you to know that Josiah has already been doing those things, right? He's already been getting rid of idols. He's already been getting rid of images. He's already been serving the Lord, but he's standing up to make a covenant that he wants to keep doing it. He wants to serve God all the days of his life. He wants to serve everything that the Lord wants him to do. And I like what verse 32 says. "And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers." If we were to stand before you tonight, if I were to make a covenant, if I were to stand up here and tell you, from here on out, I want to do what's right. I want to be a better witness. I don't, when I'm in the store with somebody or when I meet somebody, I don't want to shy away from the things, Lord. I want to be a witness. I want to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better father to Cecilia. I want to be a better example to her. I want her to see godly living in me. I want to be a better husband. I want to be more sensitive to the needs of Mandy and take better care of her and just be a better husband to her. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better influence to my church people. I want to be a better leader. If I were to stand up here tonight and raise my hand and just honestly say, that's what I want to be, that's what I want to do, would you stand with me and say the same? That's what the Bible says Josiah did. He stood in front of the whole people and he made a covenant. Listen, guys, this is what I'm going to do. From here on out, I'm serving the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul. I'm going to follow every word of God's law. I'm not going to let one of it go by that I think is not important. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do exactly what He wants me to do. And he stood and made that covenant before the entire people. You know what it says? And he caused everyone else to stand to it. You stand to it too. You know, you've got a pastor, and you've got leaders in this church, and you've got men and women who seek and desire to serve God with their whole hearts. And there may be some of you, though, that are playing around. You know, you're serving God, and you're faithful to church, and you even pray, and you read, and you do all those things, but you're not as committed to it. When Josiah made that covenant, he made the people stand to the covenant that he had made. Let's get every member of our church, every member of this church, let's all stand to the same covenant. Let's all stand to the same purpose and the same plan. When Brother Wayne stands before you as your pastor and your leader and he seeks to be a witness and a good teacher and a good example to you, you stand to the same covenant. You seek to be the same witness, the same example in your home, in your job. Listen, you have an opportunity as a member of this church to be a witness, to be someone who can serve the Lord Jesus Christ and be faithful. and you have an impact, and you have a sphere of influence. And a lot of times it's where other people don't. You know, some of you men have jobs. And you know, you interact with people and you meet people every day at your job. You work with the same people every day. And some of you, where you work, you know, there's a good chance that Brother Wayne will probably never meet him. So you know, if Independence Baptist Church is going to reach them, you know who has to do it? You do. You know, you're at work, or you're, if any of you, you know, wherever it may be, you're going to run into people. Brother Wayne will probably never meet them. You know, Brother Paul, Brother Jim, the other preachers of the church will never meet them. And if Independence Baptist Church is going to reach them, you've got to do it. We believe the commission was given to the church, right? Okay? To the members of the church. The commission to go and evangelize the world was given to the church. Well, you're going to meet people that Brother Wayne's not, Brother Jim's not, Brother Andy's not, Brother Brian's not. You're going to meet people that these guys aren't. So if your church is going to evangelize them, you know who has to do it? You do. You see, nobody has an exception. Nobody gets an out. We all got to stand to the same covenant. We've all got to stand to the same covenant. And I've got a feeling that Brother Wayne's probably preached on the church covenant before, haven't you? Is that something that we can all stand to? All come into an agreement together upon? From this day forward, we're serving the Lord. There's nothing that's going to come in between us and God's Word. I know that our circumstances are much like Josiah's. And some of you have got terrible things that you're struggling with. You've got decisions that you've got to make about your future. You've got problems in your home that are, it seems like it's on the verge of collapsing. I don't know what it may be. And I'll never make light of it. But I want you to see in a young man who came from the same type of problems and situations and background that God can still give you the power and the desire to serve Him through it. You don't have to be a succumber to the circumstances. You can have power and victory in your life and be a witness for Christ. You can make a difference, much like this young man did. Some of you even today are older than Josiah. He was 39 years old when he died. That's okay. Some of you here today are young. You're 10 years old. You're 15, you're 20 years old. That's okay. There's no age limit on serving the Lord. If you want to serve the Lord, you can. If you want to come to Him, and if you just want to open your heart before Him and say, "Lord, show me what You want me to do," He'll show you. He'll show you what He wants you to do. Lost sinner, if you're here tonight, I know sometimes guys like Josiah make you seem kind of crazy. Man, what a guy. What kind of a guy is that? I mean, this guy's crazy. I mean, what do you want to go and do all that kind of stuff for? There was something in his heart that was different. You know, tonight you can be just like a Josiah, but you've got to seek the Lord. Lost sinner, if you're here tonight, you can be saved. You can be saved. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess and repent of your sins and leave them there and turn to Him. And the Bible says that He'll save you. I wonder if there's a Josiah here in this room tonight. I wonder if there's someone here that the Lord's just been burdening. You know, not with necessarily the call to preach, not necessarily with the call to a specific ministry, but there's someone here tonight who you realize that you need a greater desire and a greater intention to serve the Lord. You haven't been like Josiah so far. You haven't served Him with your whole heart. You haven't been seeking Him. That can change tonight. You can make a covenant tonight, just like Josiah did. And I got a feeling if you make a covenant, there's some other people here that'll stand with you on it. They'll stand with you. They'll stand behind you. They'll stand by you and help you to fulfill that covenant. Will you make that tonight? If you're here tonight and you're saved, will you make a covenant to serve the Lord greater than you ever have before and be like a Josiah? The Lord will bless you in it. And the Lord just might change the surroundings that are around you and help you to make a difference in your world. Brother Wayne.